I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, we are go-go karting.
We are a go-go-go karting.
Remember that?
That video. Yeah, the...
And he's
coming 46.
Yeah.
The hotel and have a go karting. Easy. What? Yeah, I remember that.
When viral. Good.
With what?
Like when viral videos were like first coming around and they were kind of few and far between, wasn't it? Like,
that must have been one of the first sort of viral videos, that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That, is it Fenton? Fenton?
Oh, yeah, the dog.
When he's shouting his dog through the... Fenton! Fenton! Yeah, there was a sort of very early viral videos, weren't there, then?
Yeah, man. Did the Curzel Mandem ever reach you guys?
No, I don't think so.
Swimmy day save or smoke the reefer in the corner. Did you never get that?
No, I don't think that made it as far as me.
That was, I think, Curzel's. It's a place in sort of Manchester way, and it must have just been like a Manchester thing, but... With viral videos, you don't know. Back in the day, do you? Because it was just shared around schools and that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was sort of different back in the day, wasn't it? I guess kind of leads us nicely into our guest, who's Alan McGee. Who's very, like, he was probably one of the most rock and roll men of the 80s and the 90s, wasn't he? Late 80s, sort of. Oh, no, even earlier.
Mid to late 80s, 90s and that, like...
Yeah. And it really, really burst on the scene when he discovered Oasis. There's this band from, I think it was from Manchester or Liverpool.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
So he was, I think he'd agree in saying most famous and most known for being responsible for Oasis, I guess. But such a great legacy as well. You are, sorry.
What an icon, like, to, you know, to be a part of that kind of time of Britpop and do you know what I mean, like them cool like bands like Oasis and
the biggest band to come out of England, I think. Other, like, you know, you've got the Beatles and
I was just gonna say the Beatles.
Yeah. But I mean, they definitely, I think I don't think there's anywhere in the world you could go and play Wonderwall and wouldn't know what it was.
No, you'd find it very, very hard. They're massive everywhere, aren't they? I think they're massive in like really big in like Asia and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, in Japan as well. It was huge in Japan. The first time I heard of Alan McGee was watching the Supersonic documentary.
Yeah.
He's got a really addictive voice, I think. It's quite like when he tells a story, it's kind of like... He's got a really interesting voice. Mm. And I think it's because of the stories he tells are so unique to us in a way that I grew up listening to Oasis and you grew up listening to Oasis.
Yeah.
I think it's just got such a great... He's just a legend. And I first met him when we was doing... Nick Moran, who's directing the film that I was lucky enough to be given a part in, called Creation Stories, which is all about Alan McGee growing up, what it was like for him growing up in Scotland and his journey to London and Creation Records, the early stages of Primal Scream and when they released Screamadelica. And it's just a mint story. And he was rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to be to kind of keep up with them lot, wouldn't you, really, I guess?
Yeah, man. Some of the stuff, like reading the scripts. When I got sent the script for that, I remember thinking, Jesus, like, this guy has lived a life. And then shooting some of the scenes, and Alan was around a lot on set, and he was, like, buzzing to see it all. I think he's more rightly so, more excited than anyone else about this film, which I can't wait to see. I've not seen it yet. But yeah, I guess we sort of touch base on in the chat, don't we, about what it was like on set and what it was like for him growing up, and some brilliant stories about him and Noel and Liam. And
yeah, that was the best thing about the chat with him, because, like you say, you can watch documentaries like Supersonic. You can, you know, and obviously whoever made that documentary wasn't Alan. So have an agenda or have a way in which they want that story to be shown and stuff. But when you actually talk to the people that were a part of it, we've been lucky enough to speak to some people throughout the years, I guess, in the industry that, you know, have met our heroes and know our heroes quite closely and stuff like that. And when you were...
I met Noel when I was younger. He was at the premiere of This Is England in London.
I don't think I was invited. No, I'm joking. I was. He wasn't there, was he?
Yeah, he was. He was at the... When we went to the South Bank of the BFI for the after party.
Didn't we get kicked out, though, because we were too young?
No, we was down at the BFI because my dad was there as well. But I was so young. I was only sort of 13, 14. Mm. So I knew what Oasis was, obviously. Yeah. But I wasn't as obsessed with them as I am now.
No, I didn't.
When I met him, I was kind of just like, oh, yeah, I'm not bothered. My dad lost his shit. Yeah. But I think if I met him again now, I'd be like, wow, you're Noel Gallagher.
Yeah, man. Like, Noel and Liam, man, you know what I mean? They should just get back together right now. Yeah. Listening.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of, it's divided opinions, really, isn't it? Because I think without each other, there never would have been Oasis. Noel was obviously, I think he was the talent in terms of writing. He wrote all the music.
Yeah.
And then Liam, you know, it wouldn't have been Oasis without Liam's attitude on stage and whatnot. So it's kind of the perfect mismatch of band members, I guess, wasn't it? But yeah, it was great to chat to Alan and sort of, like you said, get the first-hand stories. And, you know, there's a particular one in the chat about when Noel saw Boris Johnson in a hotel in London.
Listen to the podcast.
Yeah, but it was it was a great chat, and he's just so down to earth and just so cool, man. Like, he's such a geezer. I mean, he's got to be what now, 60?
I don't know. I wouldn't like to guess.
I think he's got to be 60, and he's probably the only 60-year-old that I know that can still wear a full Puma tracksuit and Adidas trainers and look cool.
Pull it off. So, Alan's subject is, should we say, the moniker.
Yeah.
But we chatted quite a bit here now. I'm just wary of the time, so let's bang Alan's interview on. I said the I word. And then afterwards, guys, I know I say this a lot, but after the chat, there's still a little bit of time left on your timeline if you look or whatever. We do have like a little chat afterwards as well, so try and stick around for that. And we'll tell you who's next week's guest is. We don't even know yet. We're gonna have that discussion right now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Andy, are you recording now?
Yeah, all good, mate. When you were there?
Yeah. It's great to have you with you, mate. Yeah, as you know, like, when we first met, for me, it was like, because me, and Alan worked together on a film called Creation Stories, which is about Alan's life. And I think I'd done a couple of days on set. And I kind of every morning I'd get there and I'd say to the producers, I'd be like, is Alan here? Is he in today? Is he in today? And then when I remember when I saw you in the pub for the first time and I was like, oh, it's great.
But I didn't know who you were in the beginning, right? And, you know, and you came up and you went, oh, I'm playing Dick Green. And I was like, all right, okay, cool. You're looking kind of Dick Green-y, right? I get it, right? And then, and by the way, Thomas nails Dick Green, absolutely gets it, right? I've seen the film four times now. But anyway, I didn't know who Thomas was. And then, and I went, what's your name at the end? I talked to him for 10, 15 minutes. He went, Thomas Turgis. And I went, all right, man, right, whatever. Right. And then, I don't know why, but I put you on Instagram and you had about 100,000 followers. And I was like, oh, fuck, he must be famous. And no, I just didn't know who you were. Do you know what I mean? And you were mates with Vicky and, you know, yeah. Jonathan. And then it all started to vaguely, for me, add up and go, all right, now I get it, you know. But I just thought you were a kid that had got a lucky break. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
you know?
Mate, no, that's exactly what I was when I first started.
Well, you was, yeah, 15 yeah. years ago, weren't you?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, I was, I'm just a fraud, really. One day I'll get caught out for being...
We all are. That's the joke. Everybody just makes it up as they go along. And then when you've had a bit of success, people think you really know what you're talking about. But I think you're born a fraud and you die a fraud, really. We're all basically chancers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
Anyway, I think most of the people I know can't believe they're getting away with it. That's the truth.
I think I genuinely, like when I'm on set, particularly with Creation Stories, like, That for me, like growing up a massive fan of Oasis and Primal Scream and yourself, it was like, you get to work every morning and I'm like, today will be the day where a big hand will go on my shoulder and just go, bang, I've got you, I've caught you. And it's like, but I guess that's like, that's just us realizing how lucky we are to do what we do. Like we're so like fortunate to do the jobs that we do and fortunate to love it as well, because the amount of times that, you know, your friends will come home from a day, like a 9-to-5 job, and they're moaning about the job. And, you know, and I guess the only person that can ever really change that is yourself. So we're very fortunate enough the only time I moan about work is when I'm not working. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, this is difficult at the moment during the coronavirus thing, because basically we've all had loads of stuff cancelled. You know, I've had to cancel tours, Glastonbury's for bands, Q&A's, you know, records coming out. I mean, just messy. Do you know what I mean?
I dread to think how, because obviously you're running your own business, so you've got so many people that are working under you, and you're the kind of the person that they're
not so much anymore, dude. I mean, I used to be back in the 90s, Thomas. There was 50 people worked for me in England and 50 people worked for me around the world. I was in charge of about 100 people, but now I'm not in charge of really anybody. It's just I do it. I hire in the radio plugin, I hire in the streaming plugin, I hire in the PR. I've got two people that are consultants that fire into my management company, so there's only 3 years run it. Because it's went digital and phones, I'm charting records off an iPhone with no staff, you know what I mean? The world changed, didn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The game with the accents is probably very similar still. But I think the music game's really changed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet, yeah,
especially with like downloads and stuff like that, it must have changed loads, because like, don't most musicians make the most of the money now off like merch and stuff rather than albums?
Like, having a hit now, you can make a lifetime's money out of a couple of songs if you get it right. I mean, like Mark Ronson or who was the guy that had the rock star song? I mean, 100 million, 1 billion streams. When you get stuff like that going on, you're going to make a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? Because the calibration and the finance to that is basically about $2,000 to the record rights for 1 million streams and $2,000 for the recording rights, right? The recording rights and the publishing rights. So that's $4,000 for 1 million streams, which is shit, right? That's just Spotify. But if you've got 1 billion streams, that's a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? You know, and, you know, it's... You know, you're starting to head into, you know, I mean, you know, you're starting to really head into it.
You wouldn't have to kind of do much else work-wise.
No, really. I mean, that kid, I can't remember what he's called. You know that, you know, it's Post Malone. And I mean,
Post Malone's great. I like Post Malone.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good song, and I reckon he must have made about $4 million off Spotify just on streaming. Do you know what I mean? For that song. You never used to be able to do that with songs, not back in the 80s and the 90s.
Well, there was a lot more hard work involved, wasn't there?
Yeah.
In terms of, like, now, I guess, it's just, you know, you're uploading a song and then I guess it's in the public's hands to sort of run away with it and then count your money for you. But whereas when you started back in the day, there was a lot more hard work, weren't there? I mean, I only sort of had a very small insight into what it was like running a record label and things like that. But I mean, I guess it was just kind of, you famously enjoyed your time, didn't you?
I did. We were talking about it earlier on, but it's like, I think we were sort of, us in Factory, we didn't go out of business. I got fed up with the major, but Sony actually went bankrupt. I think Factory Creation, they were very different kind of record companies from what else was going on. Because I think Tony felt part of the culture the way that I did and the way that all my bands did. Do you know what I mean? And I think most of the other record companies in the 80s and the early 90s, they weren't really about the cash. Do you know what I mean? And no, I don't think it's any different now, really. You know what I mean? But I suppose we were amazingly lucky, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's what we were.
We all are.
We came through at a time, Thomas, that we could be fucking crazy and get away with it and have hits.
I that was one thing that I was thinking whilst we was making Creation, was like, I wonder what it would be like now if Creation Records was still a thing now.
and what
kind of bands and things that you'd sign, because now I've noticed a lot, like I've got a few friends who are in bands who are doing really, really well, but I don't think there's much thing as rock and roll anymore.
No.
They're not rock and roll. Like, I remember the guys who actually created the jingle for this podcast are good friends of mine, the Sherlocks, which I think you're familiar with them, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I remember when I first got chatting to them online, and it was like, come along to a gig, and I was like, yeah, all right, cool. Went and watched the gig, and I was like, wow, it was crazy. And then they said, come back and have a drink, and I was like, this is rock and roll, baby. Got there, and they're all stood there with like fizzy water, and I'm like, this is what I expected. So I think it's just like the whole rock and roll thing's changed now. I guess it's kind of hard to find a band that don't care as much. Do you know what I mean?
Different times, and also you got to understand. Mm. I mean, what did you talk about? 32. 20.
Jesus, I'm only 28, mate. 20, chill, come on, 28.
So very young, right? But when we started breaking, I was your age. I was a wee bit younger, actually. They were 25, 24. Actually, 24 when I was managing the mansion. But by the time I got to 27, Ecstasy had appeared. And that, and like, you living in Withenshaw, man, it's like, you know, I ended up, as in the film, right? I went up and lived in Manchester. But that drug changed the cultural landscape. It fucking did, man. It was like that bit in the film. There's an amazing bit in the film where Thomas plays Dick Green and Ewan McGregor and the Ed Ball character. They go into like a little cafe, and they're Radio 1's playing something like Ride on Time or something like that, and it ends up, they've come straight to the club, into the cafe, and Ed Ball's on the table, and Thomas, playing Dick Green, turns around and goes, What's the tune? And they went, it's the washing machine or something. We've had moments like that. Why that moment is brilliant is we actually had a lot of, like, going into old men's cafes and dancing about 10 in the morning and the old men leaving. And now I'd be the one to be leaving now. That's the joke. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's just completely gone 360, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But it's a brilliant story nonetheless. And like I said, when I got sent the script and they asked me to do it, I was just like, rang my dad straight away. And like, my dad's obviously a massive fan of the whole whole story of everything that went on. And yeah, man, I just can't wait for the premiere. I want to know what the premiere is going to be like when all said and done. But anyway,
wait a while now.
What would be funny is if we all basically. Because nearly everybody's sober now, do you know what I mean? But it'd be funny if we had one last night, like, you know.
Just one relapse night, imagine.
Yeah,
it'd be funny. Oh, God. I'm telling you, mate, I was saying to Andy just before we started recording, I thought that I lived a pretty rock and roll lifestyle. I thought I was pretty, like, you know, well, back in the day, and not so much no more, but when I was sort of like 20, 21, I was pretty full on. But then looking back at, and the stories that you've told me as well, I'm like, no, actually my life's a bit like
just we were out of control though. I mean, it's not a good place to be. We all ended up like having nervous breakdowns and rehab, so it's not as if we dealt with it particularly well. It was messy, do you know what I mean?
No. But anyway, like we obviously on Overrated Everything, we don't just talk about the sex, drugs and rock and roll of the 80s and 90s.
Mostly we do.
But we get a guest on every week, and they share with us a subject that they feel is overrated. And your subject, obviously the listeners will know by now, but Andy was buzzing when you said about that.
Well, the only reason I chose the monarchy was, I'm Scottish, I hate them, right? But I won't be just personally vicious about them, although I might veer into how stupid they actually are as people. But the truth is, I mean, why do we put up we must be mad to have a royal family. It's just, you know, and what always amazes me is you think that basically it was maybe just the Tories that are hanging on to it, you know, because they love tradition and stuff like that. I don't think it is. Anything royal happens in London, it's we old women from where I live in Bermondsey going, you know, like we working class women that love the Queen. I mean, I think that's overrated, mate. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's it's a tourist thing as well. Tourist, not Tory.
Yeah, I think it is.
I've always said that about it, though, because one of the things, because I despise the monarchy, and I'm the same as you, Alan. I think it's just the idea of it is so silly. But the argument that a lot of people say is like, oh, well, you know, Buckingham Palace brings in X amount of money in tourism, like Tomo said. But fucking Stonehenge brings in a load of tourism and no one's lived there for thousands of years. So we kick them out. Do you know what I mean? Open up Buckingham Palace as a museum to the monarchy and have it as a museum.
Where does the Queen go?
Wherever
she's cute, man. She's cute, bless her. She's cute.
The one thing I would say, and then I won't bitch about them anymore, really. But think.
Oh no, that's the point of the podcast.
Right, yeah, no, you've got about another
level of stupidity are these people. And these people are right, we'll start at Prince Andrew. Did you see that fucking Newsnight interview? I mean, he's a fucking bellend, right? It's just the bit when he was saying, it's because I'm so honourable and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, yes, in hindsight, I think it was rather good that I was friends with Mr. Epstein because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're just thinking, if you were Prince Andrew, you idiot, you'd be up sex charges. You're a fucking idiot. So he's a fool. He obviously got taken. They've obviously got him on tape. and they've been blackmailing him for fucking years, and he's caught between a rock and a hard place. He's an idiot. Charles got taken by Jimmy Savile. He's a fucking idiot. And then Harry, who's a fucking idiot, got taken by Meghan Markle. They're just a family of fucking imbeciles. And we pay them money to be moronic. That's the bit that I kind of get away with.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's like you say, for me, it is an idea, like having a moniker. It's such it's a Stone Age idea, isn't it? I think it was like Russell Brand or someone, and he was saying, like, can you imagine if we, you know, you're on a plane and it crashes and you all survive and you're on a desert island. Yeah. It's like looking at one old lady, giving her a crown and going, you're the boss. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Years ago, it might have, but now, you know, you'd kind of, you know, voting for leadership is better. And obviously we do have that in this country, but still the fact that we have a monarchy, the fact that we kind of, you know, we're not free citizens, are we? We're British subjects.
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind.
What a lot. It might be because I'm 59 and I'm actually genuinely old now, but we've culturally, because of the internet, I think we've worked out the middle classes pretty well now, right? You look at William and you just think, you fucking wet blanket, and you know way that you'd be fucking her unless you weren't the fucking next king, because she's fit and you're a fucking idiot, right? You're looking at her, nobody's fucking fooled by it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's what it is. You're a wet blanket. Whether he's thick or not, I presume he is, but the Queen, fair enough, the Queen's a Queen. I've got no beef with her, really, other than I don't think we should have one. Prince Philip's just a fucking bitter old racist. But it's the other three, Andrew, Charles and Harry, they're fucking thick.
Is Harry the one who does live a bit of a boy's lifestyle, though? He's the one that
he's
out in Vegas, wanted his photo of him on a
he's become an uber liberal now, Thomas. Do you know what I mean? You know, because he's got he's got the trendy wife, but you know, it's like I think because it's all the inbreeding, they're just thick as fuck. Do you know what I mean? What do you two think? I'm being a bit.
Mate, at the end of the day, that's why we get people on to hear their views. But I mean, I quite like the royal family, but I guess I don't think about it as in depth as you guys. I guess I'm kind of just blind to it all in a way. Like,
complacent.
I'm complacent with it. I think she's cute. I think the Queen's cute.
Thomas, I got invited to Buckingham Palace.
Huh?
Around the time, you know, when I went and visited Blair, and I was
government,
because Blair loved me so fucking much, right? The Labour Party were all over me at the end of the 90s, right? Charles invited me three times to Buckingham Palace to meet him for supper, and I couldn't fucking do it because I always saw the Labour Party as ultimately my party, and let's try and make it. And I changed the law. I got this thing through called the New Deal for Musicians, and I got the musicians in the country for 10 years, from 97 or 98 to 2008, you could claim benefits, right, and be a musician, right? So, you know, I never ultimately had a problem with being friends with the Labour Party and ending up in the government. Fucking that's wild, but that kind of happened. But the royal family, I could never be down with it. And if I'd played the game, and I got a fucking gong, and I ended up OB or whatever, because I've sold enough records to qualify for it, but I just fucking hate them.
Yeah, I've always thought that, like, obviously in our game acting that, I've always, you know, you always think, oh, if you did this and you did that, I think I'd be the same as you. I don't think I'd, like, even like, you know, you look at people.
If they invited you down to Buckingham Palace to become Sir Andrew Ellis, you wouldn't do it?
Nah, I'd denounce it. Yeah. Wow. Because unless they're going to give me a fucking sword and a shield, I don't want to be a knight. Do you know what I mean? That's not a knight. If I want to be a knight, I want a sword, a shield, I want to go scrapping my dragons.
Some people are into it. Because I'm friends with Bob Geldof. And he loves it. Whenever he goes to court for anything, if the judge isn't...
Does he go to court a lot?
Yeah, sometimes he's like he gets called in for like... He's always in and out of court, Bob. You know what I mean? He gets he's always getting with business or blah blah blah. And I think at the time the story he told me this for this one, I'm going to tell you, I think it was to do with it was to do with custody of children or something like that. Right? But anyway, he went on in and the judge goes, Mr. Geldof, and he went to the judge, the High Court judge, he went, Sir Bob Geldof. So he liked
that,
obviously, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
My mate,
go on, after you, mate. Go on.
I was going to say, my mate, he bought, you know, like you can buy like a square foot of land. I think a lot of it's in like Scotland as well. And you become a laird, is it? L-A-I-R-D. So you can officially use that if you want in your name. And a pal of mine did it. And he rang up a hotel and I think he rang back a little bit later with that and said, oh, sorry, it's laird, whatever. And they upgraded his room and stuff just because they thought, oh, this was like years ago when this first started coming in. But yeah, so it does. Yeah. I get, you know, it gets you places, I guess.
I'd like to be called Sir Thomas Turgoose.
Yeah, you'd be good. I mean, look, if you don't hate them, you should take it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not, they haven't offered it to me. They haven't offered it. Yeah.
I don't fucking agree with them, do you know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, I just can't do it, you know. I mean, I can't be down with them. But I did get invited. And I mean, there was a point maybe 5 years ago that I remember thinking, not that I wanted a gong, because I didn't, but I thought maybe I should have just went to meet them, to work them out, because you slag them off enough, McGee, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, go. Oh, you're in a mess.
Actually, cool as, like, if he was just cool as fuck. If all of the royal family just sat there, just being fucking cool. Do you reckon they actually live in? But do you reckon the Queen lives in Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, I know a few people that have been in and out of it, and they say it's pretty tacky. It's pretty run down, actually.
I bet it's just like the Dorchester in London. Yeah, the hotel.
Yeah, but it's just a shit Dorchester. Dorchester's charging loads of. What does Dorchester charge? $600 a night or something like that.
I've only stayed there for work.
I'd be shabby for 600 a night.
I remember.
Palace is a bit shabby.
I remember I stayed at the Dorchester when I was a kid, and I remember pulling up outside, and there was like Lamborghinis and Bentleys, and there was like all the people with top hats, and I was like, wah! Got to the room. I was sharing a room with my dad and my stepmom. I must have only been 14, 15. And I got to the room, and I was like, this is shithole. I would never pay all that money to stay there.
Because they're old, like, listed buildings, aren't they? So they can't really do much with them about it.
No, I agree. I tell you, though, I think Prince Andrew must be the only person in the world that's going, thank fuck for coronavirus, do you know what I mean? But it's like... But he might end up sort of bringing it down, not completely destroying it, but I think he's going to change it because he's just so over the line this time. Do you know what I mean? And with social media now, look at this. We're sitting three different places putting a show online. The world's fucking... the world's transparent now. Do you know what I mean? If you go over the line, you're probably going to end up online. Do you know what I mean? And
Do you like the way that technology's changed the world, or does it freak you out a bit?
I think both. Do you know what I mean? I love it, but I think I was doing a bit better in the old world when I could control it a bit more. Do you know what I mean? But I think everybody's a bit like that. I think that everybody's a little bit like, yeah, you know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's different, you know. It's
scary. Sorry, go on.
Well, before, Thomas, how you broke a band in the 90s, you only had to do four things apart from the music. If the band had a hit, you just got, this is mid-90s, that's how I broke Oasis. You got The Word, you got The Chart Show, you got Steve Lamacq Record of the Week, that 8 to 10 slot on Radio 1, and you got Front Cover of the NME, and you would put your record in at 30. You knew what to do, do you know what I mean? Now, it isn't like that in music, it's...
People are breaking the internet now for doing nothing.
Yeah, I
agree. I mean, people are becoming viral megastars nowadays for doing a video that they created in the front room.
Yeah.
I guess that's the whole 5 minutes of fame thing, isn't it? But, yeah. you know, people are actually making a living from being, like, influencers and stuff. Like, we've had guests on here before,
a guy called Aaron Craskell, who genuinely makes a living from making videos and putting them out online. But he's got, I think he's up to 6 million followers on Instagram.
I don't even know who he is.
And me and Andy was walking through London with him, and just everyone knows, they're all shouting things at him out of the cars, and it's bizarre. Like, it's great, obviously, for him, and he's found this platform, and he's grabbed it by the balls and run away with it. But it's bizarre. To me, that's bizarre how people can become.
Do you know what's quite interesting? This lockdown thing. I mean, we're only 2 weeks into it, right? But I've been in for 2 weeks because I was in isolation for the first week, and then we've been in lockdown for a week. But what's interesting about it is, I mean, I'm barely watching the TV. I'm watching shows on Instagram, and sometimes I'm on the shows on Instagram. But and watching like Steve Naive Facebook page, he does a concert every night, the Elvis Costello's Pianist.
Yeah,
but, I mean, the entertainment has went off. It's Netflix and online. Do you know what I mean?
I don't have channel 1, 2, 3, and 4 at home. I don't have any channels. None.
Yeah, we're the same. We're watching like every morning at 9 because I've got my little girls as well. So we're up at 9 with my eldest. We're up at like 7, but 9 o'clock every morning, we've got Joe Wicks doing a exercise class, and then she's got someone teaching them how to dance. Like, it is amazing. Like, I think one good thing of this is the creatives are finally kind of doing their stuff as well now for free, because they can just put it out there, they can do it themselves. And rather than, you know, I think it's brilliant as well. Like that Joe Wicks as well. He's donating all the money from the views to the NHS, which is great. You know, it's kind of that time now, isn't it, where everyone who's been telling us to get a proper job all our lives are all sat there listening to all the music and all watching all the shows. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They need us now.
Yeah. But it is a great time for us all to sort of like, you know, help each other out. Like, obviously, having people like yourself, Alan, and all of the other great guests that we're managing to get on, it's kind of like we've now got an opportunity to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
And then put it out there, and, you know, more people are at home now, so, you know, people need things like this to keep them entertained, you know. So I guess in a way we're key workers.
Just saying. I don't think people want straight presenters. Like, you two would do well. Do you know what I mean? In the climate that we're now heading into, people don't want... Well, Philip Schofield, I guess it sounds bonkers, but I sort of kind of like him because he's so mental. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not because he's good, but he is nuts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
He's got a Twitter that's just all about him drinking wine. Have you seen that?
No.
He's brilliant. He's got his own Twitter account that's just about wine.
No, he's but I also like what he does on social media. He's very real as well, in a way. He there's no glam about him. There was a great video of him trying to turn his alarm off in the attic. Did you see that? Well, it's drinking gin. His alarm box is going off or something, and he's drinking gin and he's trying to turn it off. I think that Schofield's great.
Changing, I mean, just the fact that I'm consuming, you know, Instagram shows, Facebook stuff. Do you know what I mean? And then on-demand TV, like films that you two guys do, do you know what I mean? You know, Netflix. And I think the world just matters. And then Soho Radio, Boogaloo Radio, if you want music, you know. I mean, I know millions of radio stations, but I just don't... I mean, I don't think you're going to the BBC so much anymore, do you know what I mean?
No,
that's true. I mean, I you know, the news probably is all we have on BBC now, every now and again, just to see what freaking Boris is saying or whatever. But other than that, it's on demand, and that kind of jump's only going to get more and more as time goes on, because like with 5G now, what they're bringing in, that's apparently going to like accelerate at a speed that we can't even imagine. You know, things are going to be, you know, this time in 10 years, we'll look back at this time and go, how did we manage without this or that? You know what I mean? Which is already bonkers to think that we're all in isolation at the minute, but the world's so much connected. Like, could you imagine doing this in the 90s? Do you know what I mean? Isolation, you just wouldn't be able to do it. You'd be pulling, you know what I mean?
I know the world's, I mean, technology, that's what, when you were saying, do you embrace it? And I'm going, yeah, I do. But I'm like everybody else. You're a bit like me and Thomas were talking, and he went, Skype him again. I went, I've got the app. And I went, I haven't used it for years, Tom. And he went, neither have I. So no, yeah, we're all still chancing it a bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I guess I'm still learning about Skype now. It's been a thing for years, but someone asked me if I wanted to do a podcast over Skype, and I was like, how does that work, blah, blah, blah. And then we explained it that we can do this. And for us, it's just improved our concept, I think, because now we're able to record video as well, which is more content. And also, it opens up more gates for us to get, you know, guests, because – you know, if we was to come down to London to say to record this episode, it would mean the cost of getting on the train and travel and finding an hour that you've got during a busy schedule. Same with us. So it's kind of like that. That's the exciting side to technology. I think it makes everything easier, but it's also like it takes away the fun of the struggle. If you like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And guys got coming on? Are you both got stuff? When you come out of this, are you going to both get stuff on?
Yeah, I've been waiting on a job now.
Welcome to episode one of the Alan McGee podcast. Hey, Thomas Turgoose and Andrew Ellis.
may as well go there.
Yeah.
I've been waiting on a job for a little while. That's supposed to be taking off. It was supposed to be May. So obviously that'll get pushed back now. But I've got a film coming out again. Don't know when now, but that was supposed to be sort of tail end of this year.
Yeah,
I think everything's just been put on a hold, really. You're partway through Smart ITT.
Yeah, well, I was on an 8-month series, so I was filming for 8 months, and then
what was the series, Thomas?
It's a new one for Sky One called Intergalactic. So it's a sci-fi with the hopes of going on to more. So we was nearly finished. We had 3 weeks left, and obviously with everything that's going on, they had to shut down filming. So hopefully we can go back in the summer and pick it up. Because we never got to say bye to anyone. I spent 7 months with these people, more time with these cast and crew in Manchester than I did with my wife. So like these people become your family, and then suddenly we didn't get to say bye. So it's like it's all a bit bizarre. So hopefully we can go back in the summer and pick it up and then have a proper rap party and say bye-bye. And
it's crazy. But it's strange, man.
It is mental times. It's like it's nothing like I've ever experienced in my life, anyway.
Yeah. I don't think anyone has, have they? That's the thing. It's mad.
I don't know. I bet Alan's experienced something similar to this, not being able to leave the house for a couple of weeks.
I'm officially weird, dude. That's why I'm finding it easy. Do you know what I mean? You know?
Well, I think we've been training for this for years, particularly as actors, because we spend so much time out of work. I sit at home all day because all my friends are at work, and I sit at home all day, and you busy yourself and you learn how to enjoy your own company. So now people say to me, how are you getting on with the isolation? And I'm like, well, I've been training for years. I do this is my day-to-day life. But then it also gets to the point where that little part of you know, when you know you're not allowed to go see your friends or you're advised not to go see your friend, makes you want to do it that little bit more. So I think that's the hardest thing. And just being able to go for a swim and...
I know, the swim one for me, Thomas, that's the one, man, because I swim every day.
Yeah, I swim a lot.
Yeah, because I've got the health club just at the bottom next to the river, because I live right in the Thames. And I mean, that's the one. I haven't swam now. 2 weeks.
Go in the Thames, mate. You'll be all right.
Yeah, actually, I haven't swam since last Monday. I mean, can you imagine getting the Thames?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
they'll have dolphins in that next week, like Venice.
maybe.
That's the great thing. That's one thing I've noticed. And I'm not really... I don't really... actively go out of my way to save the planet. Obviously, I'll try and make my differences as I can as a person, but I'm not an activist. I don't go out and things like that. But having seen what's happening with the pollution and what's happening with the planet, and it's being able to breathe, I'm a massive fan of that, and I love it. Love seeing everything that's going on, like all the pollution. I mean, did you see that? There was a graph of the pollution of the UK from when we started isolation to now. And it's like just that the air pollution is just so much better.
Yeah. Because nobody's doing anything, you know. We're all, I mean, have you noticed the murders have went up, though?
The what, have?
The what, murders?
The murders, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I think there have been like 9 people that have basically went crazy in their houses and killed their wives or for their families and mad shit, man.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, but you're going to get a lot of people that can't get on, you know. I mean, just fucking breaking up.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the divorce rate in Japan quite high.
After the
isolation.
Like
you were going to say, you're quite lucky because you and your wife get on, but you've not spent 24 hours.
No, that's not what I was going to say. We don't. What I was going to say is I'm lucky she's still working. She's at work.
Yeah. But
it's going to be funny, isn't it? I mean, there's going to be a lot of people coming out the other end going, fuck that, you know, I'm out of this.
It's going to be difficult.
Well, do you reckon it's going to change anything in regards to, you know, like power and stuff like that in terms of the monarchy and leaders and stuff like that? Do you think, because now surely we're seeing that socialism's working, right? With the state helping out and stuff like that. We're seeing that, you know, things that, you know, Jeremy Corbyn was laughed at not too long ago and things like that, kind of like, oh, what, we have to put money into the NHS or, you know, we have to look after the poor. The Tories are reluctantly starting to do that now, I guess.
I don't think anything's really going to change. I think society will change a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Because I think, you know, we've all started doing, like, the fact that we're all in the house, do you know what I mean, blah, 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 for the NHS. We've all become a little bit more like, got to try and cut other people's slack. But the monarchy ain't going anywhere. They're like the cockroaches. You know, you could fucking nuke them and they're still, you know, Prince Andrew will still come out, do you know what I mean? they're fine. The politicians, I think they're all as bad as each other, ultimately, do you know what I mean, you know? So,
you know. My worst fear is coming out of the end of this and having to pass a fucking statue of Boris Johnson in London. Imagine that, you know, like you've got Churchill and all that, and then one of Boris Johnson because he's done well. I just can't hear me that, mate.
Yeah, he is. I'll tell you a good story. You're probably all right. That's what Tom's saying. It's like, I was having a meeting, this is about 2008, with the Dirty Pretty Things. It was the Bandit and the Libertine. And Boris Johnson came on in, right, and sat. I think he was chatting up some women. But maybe not. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. But anyway, it was the Landmark Hotel, and he sat over there. And I'm not taking the piss. Noel came in. I think it was his first kid, maybe. And with Sarah shoving the pram. And the Landmark Hotel was where me and Noel used to stay in the 90s, right? You know, it was the Britpop Hotel. And it was kind of weird, like fucking 13 or 14 years later, I'm sitting having a meeting, and he's come on in for a cup of tea. So he comes on in, and I said to him, look over there, and Boris was the mayor of London at the time. And he goes, and Noel's mad. Like, nobody really knows Noel. He will have a go at anybody. And I went over there, and he went to completely have it with Boris Johnson. And I was like, no, fucking don't be. He arrested you, idiot. You know what I mean?
Oh, oh my God.
Maybe I should have let him. Maybe I should have. You know? But I reminded him of that recently. Yeah, fucking Boris was there. Do you know what I mean? Like, a mad moment.
Yeah, it's great, mental, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I think. I mean, he's making the right decisions now, isn't he? He was really slow, and he wasn't clear in what he was saying.
I'm not sure they're doing that well, Thomas. I mean, like, they've only just applied for the ventilators, and they don't have, Germany's got the antibody test, and they don't have the antibody test. And if we get the antibody test and say, you know, get everybody tested, I think I've actually had that. Do you know what I mean? So if you can get everybody tested, we can actually start to get things going again. Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure the Tories really know what they're doing. I think he
wasn't clear in what he was saying, and he was putting a lot at risk when he was saying, I would avoid going to the theatre and I would avoid going to gigs. And that's a lot of people's livelihoods. He should have said, don't go. Don't go, simple as that. Yeah.
The worst one for me was when he was it like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, said, right, okay, on a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, he said, right, the pubs are shutting tonight, don't go. As if the majority of the country aren't gonna go, fuck it, one last pint.
What's doing like, that around here?
Just sort of on a Wednesday.
There was having
end of the world nights
loads,
and that.
Loads of our local bars was having end of the world parties. And I was like, what the fuck is that about? You know, everyone's getting, and it's like, it's literally like giving the country 9 hours and saying, right, you've got 9 hours of fun. Hours of fun. Yeah. Well, people are dying. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I guess it, yeah, I was wrong in saying that they're handling it very well. But I mean, the government now, you know, there's a lot of grants for people and freezing the mortgages and things like that, which is obviously helping people massively. But it's just.
My bands are feeling it, man. You know what I mean? All my
employees
and cast. Because we had like loads of, I mean, I cancelled for the Mondays, Glastonbury got cancelled, Isle of Wight, you know, cast a lot of dates. I mean, it's just messy. Do you know what I mean? You know? Because a lot of actors, they live from job to job, to gig to gig. So
well, that's our livelihood, isn't it? I was speaking to again going back to the Sherlocks. Like one, they were saying that the amount of prep and things that goes into a festival. I think they had I don't know 7 or 8 festivals over the summer, and that's literally all of that money that they was paying their bills with is now not there at all, and it's like. They've got nothing. They've got nothing to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a worrying time, but I think now the country are taking it serious now, aren't they? People are staying in, and hopefully we'll start.
I'm friends with the singer in the Idols. I've just done some shows with him, like some Q&As, and he was telling me that because they've just broken everywhere just the last 6 months, and they were flying down to South America now. They were going to go. And they had a sellout South American tour. And then the last time I saw him was about 2 weeks ago, 12th of March. And he told me that they'd lost £500,000 worth of shows. Lost £60,000 in flights. Do you know what I mean? You know, just like, you know, that can bankrupt people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to have a massive, massive knock-on effect, isn't it? But I guess that, you know, once we're all clear and we can start to rebuild, and I think it's amazing to see how us as the British have all come together, you know, and we're all trying to make a difference. And I think it's I think we'll be all right. I think, you know,
Can you imagine the parties we'll have, and the, you know what I mean? How many lengths you'll do, Alan? Do you know what I mean? Like we're gonna hit it hard, aren't we? Once this is over, I think that's what you gotta look forward to.
Thomas is in. I want to get that fucking film out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because there's so many films that have been delayed, and so much, like say, albums that are being delayed. So once it kind of the floodgates open again, like we're gonna have a pandemic of just shit to do, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? It's gonna be amazing.
the sad thing is, me being a pessimist, maybe nobody's getting any money to go though. You know what I mean?
True. Well, that's the thing. When all these pubs reopen and things for the summer, like. Is anyone going to have any money to go and enjoy it? You know, it's kind of like.
Should be a good first night.
God, you imagine what, like. I mean, I just hope that they don't go, right, Friday, all the pubs are open. Oh my God, imagine.
That's what it's going to be like, mate. It's going to be messy.
Oh God, I'm scared. this is the first time I've ever done this, by the way. So I mentioned to my father-in-law that I was speaking to you on this, and he asked me to ask you if you can recommend 3 new bands that a 63-year-old can listen to during the isolation. 3 new bands. But bearing in mind, he's 63, but I think he goes to 2 gigs a week.
He loves
gigs, and he goes to anything.
I mean, I won't put my bands in it. I'll keep my bands out of it. Idols, Fontaines DC, Shame, all great. Because they're the new kind of like breed of rock and roll bands Britain's coming out with. Well, Fontaines are Irish, but that whole new punky rock and roll indie thing, do you know what I mean? And it's with new people, and it's fresh, you know, it's good. Do you know any bands, Thomas?
I've heard of the Idols.
Yeah, a great band, man.
Yeah, and I've seen them on. They're doing most of the festivals this summer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, no, I'll check them out as well. Do you think? Is there any recent? What's your thoughts when you put Radio 1 on now?
I've got to be honest, man. I won't be cruel about it, because I'm 59. If I was putting Radio 1 on, there'd be something fucking wrong. Do you know what I mean? It's not meant for me. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it is what it is. It's fucking rubbish. We know that. But I suppose, you know,
it's just different.
That's a healthy thing for Radio 1, that an old 59-year-old rock and roll guy thinks it's rubbish. That's probably what they want. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I guess
they want the young ones.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's not meant for me. I think their catchment age they're going for is 15 to 24. Do you know what I mean?
It's not meant for us anymore, T.
No, it's not. Honestly, genuinely, when I... Was it the Brit Awards? It might have been the Brit Awards gone. When they announced the winners, I probably knew two of them. I probably knew two of the winners. And they're the biggest stars in the world at the minute. And I'm like, I couldn't tell you when. I mean, I think there was any sort of Lewis Capaldi and Billie Eilish.
He's really funny, Thomas. He's great.
Sorry?
He's really funny.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's a one-off guy. I mean, usually these guys are just pompous record company clothes horses. He's not. He's actually a very funny fucking guy. I don't really like what he does, but it's not really... It's too wet for me, too pop. But I like him. I mean, I think he held his own with Noel Gallagher. He's fucking funny, man.
Oh, and, yeah, the whole thing between them is amazing. Yeah.
And he didn't lose, do you know what I mean? You know, he was... I mean, he was giving it.
I thought it was great that he posted a photo with Noel's daughter. I thought that was amazing. After everything that had gone on, he posted a photo on his Instagram of Noel and his daughter. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, loads of people know him, and I don't know him, but loads of my pals don't know him. And they say he's a good guy, you know.
He's a lovely guy. I know him. I've been to see him a couple of times, and I've been out for a drink with him. And he's like Jesus now. Honestly, if you're in a pub with him, it's mental. Like, it's like being out with fucking Justin Bieber. If you think now, it's only sort of a year ago where no one really knew who he was. Which, again, I suppose that was like Oasis. Like, no one really knew who Oasis was. Yeah. And then after you got your hands on him, you know, it kind of... Because that all happened so quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, that was... Funnily enough, I watched that film that they put out.
The Supersonic.
I'm in that film, that Supersonic.
I think I've seen that about 15 times, I think.
Yeah, I've only watched it that way. I watched it 3 or 4 times, but I hadn't watched it for a couple of years. But because I'm in the house, I thought I was in between Tiger King, because I'm watching Tiger King for the second time.
I've not seen that. I'm on that next.
Yeah, everyone's talking about that. Is it good?
The best. It's as good as Breaking Bad. It's genius.
Oh, all right, okay.
Yeah, fucking great, man. So funny, man. The gay zookeeper, psycho, pop star. You can't invent some, and then he's not even he's mental, but there's a guy, you just got to watch it. I mean,
there's a woman
that he's at war with that basically has fed her husband to the tigers. Just fucking mental people, man.
Crazy. So is it not real? is it scripted? It's not real?
No, it's a documentary.
Right, okay. Yeah, I thought it was a doc.
If they'd scripted it, Andy, I don't think they could have. It's so bizarre. If it was acted, you would go, that's just not real. Why it's genius is they've actually found a bunch of freaks. And that's these people that run the zoos in America.
I think Netflix are great at the minute. Like, some of the things they're creating is amazing.
Yeah, man.
But when they put Supersonic on Netflix, as soon as I see it, I was like, bosh, I watched that. I mean, I've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's the life that they lived. It's like, but Noel, I think it's Noel at the end when they'd just done Nebworth, and they said that was one of the last great rock and roll gigs before the internet and before mobile phones. I bet that's changed. So, like, all the gigs that you went to back in the day to gigs that you go to now, it's all people just watch it through mobile phones, don't it?
I tell you what, it hit me was about 2013, and I went to see Neil Young play Birmingham NEC, and I went to see Neil with a couple of friends, and it was 14,000 people watching the gig through their iPhone.
Mm.
And I really was like, how fucking mad has the world become? That this is
This is.
But I'm guilty of it. I do. I record it. But then sometimes I record a gig and I'm like, I will never watch that. I'll never go from my phone and watch it. Yeah, so yeah. why don't I instead of paying 50 quid for a ticket or whatever and then going and watching the gig, and like, why don't I just enjoy it instead of, I often think if I didn't need my phone in case I got, but I've just said it there, like needing my phone in case I got lost. Like, what would you have done at Nebworth?
Watch the show. It's good to hear. I mean, it wasn't, to be honest, Thomas, it wasn't actually a very good Oasis gig.
Oh, really? That's one thing I always say. If people say to me, if you could go to one gig,
it was a total event, but I'm glad I went to it. But as Oasis gigs go, it wasn't that good. It was a bit complacent. It was just okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What would have been the best one?
What's it like, your favourite Oasis gig?
I was thinking, probably Earl's Court, between just as the second album was coming out.
Nice, yeah.
That one was, I don't think they were ever better than that. That was when they were just absolutely firing, do you know what I mean, you know? And they were right on the cusp of just becoming superstars. I was sitting watching it with Madonna to my left and you two to my right. I was just thinking, this is fucking psycho. But here we
that's
go.
That's crazy. What
do you think to the new stuff of Nolan, like the new stuff?
I think it's okay. I mean, it's like, you know, I like it. I mean, for different reasons. I like the Noel stuff because he's still got the pop thing. It's good. And I like the Liam stuff because it's uber Liam being pop. Do you know what I mean? But I don't think either of the careers are as good as Oasis. I like the Oasis thing much better than the either of the
two. And that'll never change. Like, after generation, like, I saw Oasis in Coventry at the Rico.
All right.
When I was about 15, I think it was. And that's probably the best gig I've ever been to. But I think even as I get older and I have kids, my kids will be listening to Oasis, and my dad will listen, and I think it'll be a generation. And the same with the Stone Roses, I think, and you know, the same with so many great bands. Like, we'll look at Queen and things like that.
My daughter thinks it's rubbish.
Thinks Oasis is rubbish.
Yeah, she thinks it's rubbish. I don't know if she's reacting against me though. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's because it's a dad's mute. Like, what you listen to? Do you know what I mean?
No, I think what it is because it's difficult being the kid of somebody that's went and done something at some point, and I think. She's just like, I don't know why it was them, Dad. Teenage Fan Club was so much better. Do you know what I mean? So, God knows we kids, man. Do you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah, it's bizarre. I think that'll about do it, won't it, Andy? Do you reckon?
Yeah, we've been chatting for about 55 minutes nearly now. So, yeah, mate, thanks
what
very
much,
Alan.
What are you going to put it out on, boys?
So we put it out on, like, Spotify and stuff as just an audio file. Yeah. And we're going to start putting them up on YouTube as well.
Brilliant. Right.
We need to make a channel and stuff like that and get them on on YouTube.
I don't know if it was any good today.
It was great, man. But that's the
amazing,
thing about our podcast.
Amazing.
The thing is about it is we just go off on chat random shit. That's all we do.
I might look at it when you put it out and go, oh, actually, the Royal Family bit was good. I mean, I don't know if it was good or bad, you know what I mean?
Well, what we'll do is, honestly, we'll send it to you before anyway, so you can have a listen.
No, I'm not taking it down. It is what it is. You don't have to just put it up. But what I'm trying to say to you is, sometimes I think things are shit, and then I watch them and go, oh, it's actually good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing is, we only ever really have that kind of... the subject just to open up the chat, really, because otherwise, like, we're just chatting about our careers or whatever, but it's nice to have that little subject that we can keep going back to and draw parallels from it to different things, and it just makes it flow a bit.
It's really a fucking pet hate, do you know what I mean? So that's why when I go, I've got no gauge, because I don't usually go into that, if you know what I'm trying to say. So once I went, okay, the Royal Family, I've got no gauge on my own hatred. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Because I don't really talk about it, but I fucking hate them. Do you know what I mean? You know.
Well, that's the whole point of the thing, isn't it? But it's good because it'll give your fans, the people who want to listen to what you're up to and stuff, it just gives them a different avenue into I reckon what we've just spoke about, you know, Creation and Oasis and things like that, more than we probably would have any other, so, any, because we get guests on and we try not to speak about their life and about everything that they do, because they've done that. You've done an interview on Creation and Oasis.
It was kind of cool. It was fine, Thomas. It was like, I'll probably see it when you put it up and go, oh, that was actually all right.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, that was a good one.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, again, just what I said in the intro, like, his voice is so addictive. Like, I just love listening to him talk. I always tune into his Instagram lives, and yeah, I think he's got a great voice, and he's a good storyteller as well.
That's it, mate. And obviously, the people have now heard that kind of little gem of a story of him being at the Landmark Hotel, and Noel wanting to sort of give Boris a piece of his mind or whatever. Like,
imagine if Alan went there to stop it, what we would have seen in the news. That would have been a good headline, I imagine.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So good to get an insight into, like, because I was seeing Noel Gallagher as being chilled, like the more chilled one.
Yeah, like you don't like that. Like I went, obviously, having, like, say it was weeks ago that we had this chat. I always had in my head that it was Liam, but then. Listen back while editing, I was like, oh no, it's Noel. Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. You just assume, wouldn't you? But, oh yeah, obviously it'd have been Liam, I guess. But
yeah, imagine if Liam had seen him in that hotel. God. Here's a bit of exciting news to completely off the subject. I hit 1 million views on TikTok today.
1 million views, what, across all your videos?
1 million. No, just on one single video.
Oh, nice one, mate. Congratulations.
Yeah. Things are going to change around here, mate. Things are going to be different.
Don't be TikTok famous, Tomo, because I we can't be, you like, will you be still be my friend?
Well, maybe, I don't know. Not probably.
Congratulations, obviously.
Thank you. Anyway, moving swiftly back onto the subject.
We'll go back onto the subject. So, the moniker, I mean, obviously, you heard my views on it there.
Hmm.
I just think, yeah, he's got a point, completely right. Like, what the fuck, why have we got a queen?
Because she's cute. I mean, if we didn't have the queen, we wouldn't have the crown. So,
what, the series, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, fair. The crown, the series is brilliant. I've got to say, God, I do enjoy it. Olivia Colman and...
If we didn't have the monarchy, we wouldn't have the crown, and we wouldn't all fancy Claire Foy. So...
Claire Foy as well, yeah. But no, I just think, come on, that time to grow up now, thinking about kings and queens and princesses and that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, mate. I see, I'm the opposite. Like, me and Charlotte, we sit and watch a few documentaries and stuff about Princess Diana. And I mean, I find it quite fascinating.
Princess Diana, right? Because she was like the people's princess. She was kind of, I don't know a lot about her, but wasn't she kind of a little bit against the monarchy as well?
A bit like Princess Margaret as well. She's kind of like, she's just a bit more rogue and a little less polished than Aunt Lizzie.
I just understand it. I just think, why? I get it, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago, or whatever, a thousand or so years ago when, you know, they used to go into battle with you and stuff like that. But nowadays, I just think, come on, it's time to grow up.
Yeah, well.
Sorry, I've got...
I quite like her. I quite like the Queen.
Yeah, fair to. Each to your own. But obviously, me and Alan don't, and that was what the podcast was about, and that's fine.
That's why this podcast's so good, isn't it? And that's exactly why we started it, because we disagreed on something. We disagreed on me loving football and you thinking it was overrated, and then we was like, boom, we've got our podcast. And that's kind of like the ideal scenario, really, where we get a guest on and one of us agree with the subject and one of us don't, because then it gives us a talking point as well.
Exactly. So, yeah, great episode. Another one in the bag. That was episode 9, Mint. Do you want to chat about our next guest?
I'll let you do this one, mate. It was you that managed to hook this one up, which I was a big fan of because I'm a huge fan of what she's probably most famous for.
Yeah, which you were also in. You never mentioned that.
I try not to, mate. I try not to tell people. Yeah, I was in Game of Thrones. Not biggie, really, is it? Blink and you'll miss it, mind. But yeah.
Yeah, so next week we've got the actress Gemma Whelan, who played Yara Greyjoy in Game of Thrones, Alfie Allen's sister.
Yeah.
Amazing performance. Like, I remember, you know, again, we'll go into this next week, but her first episode, just straight out the bag, was like, wow, you don't mess with this girl.
She's a powerhouse, isn't she? Yeah. Other than myself and possibly Ed Sheeran, I don't think there's a bad performance in Game of Thrones other than me and Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, fair do, yeah. I mean, Ed was all right.
But that, I mean, he must have been out of his comfort zone there, though, because like it's like me going and playing Glastonbury. Do you know what I mean? He's in the biggest show on the planet and he's not an actor. It's like me going to Glastonbury and trying to play the guitar on the pyramid stage.
Yeah, that's true. That is true, I guess. But, that's next week anyway. As always, please do, if you're watching on YouTube, hello, how's it going? You waved back then, didn't you? You'd ask yet. If you are on YouTube, do just ring the bell, as the people on YouTube say, subscribe to us, like us. You get a notification then when we come on live. Every week at 10 o'clock on a Monday, it's like a premiere. So you're kind of watching along live with other people, which is pretty cool. Chat in there as well sometimes.
You're very good at all this, I must say.
I just try, yeah.
As people know already, that Andy's very much the brains behind Overrated Everything. He's sort of, he keeps the wheels turning. So listen to what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to me. And also, if you do still listen on audio only, thank you. Obviously, the podcast has always been audio. Please do. Whatever you listen to, subscribe or like or whatever, and just if you can as well, just go on YouTube and do that. It just helps us get a bit more.
Screenshot it and bang it on your Instagram stories and
exactly
all that jazz. It really does help, because you know, if you've got 500 followers, that's 500 more people that might see the podcast, and you know, whether they're interested in the guest, that particular guest, or whether they can go back through the catalogue and check it all out. So yeah, that even just sharing little things really does help us.
Yeah, and we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/overrateeverything. We've had a couple of people sign up to that recently, and that's amazing.
Yeah, so thank you for that, yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. Obviously, the world's a bit mad at the moment. If you can, thank you. If you can't, don't worry about it. Keep watching.
Our plan is still very much to be donating everything that we get to local charities and food banks and NHS and people who need the support. So
that's building.
Me and Andy aren't in this for the money. We do it just because we genuinely love doing it and chatting to people like Alan and Gemma and all of the, you know, great guests that we've had in the past.
Yeah, and that's building up now. So we said, didn't we? I don't know if we said on the podcast, but we said on the Instagram live the other week. It was your idea, and I think it was a great one. About looking for charities that might have been sort of not as much kind of thought about recently.
Yeah.
With all that's going on, obviously, you know, the NHS, which isn't a charity, obviously, but, you know, a lot of people have been giving to the NHS, which is amazing, and big charities, big companies like that. But, you know, we want to try and find a charity that's kind of been sort of forgotten about a little bit because they're more now than ever as well. So, yeah, see, I'll speak to you next week then, mate.
Yeah, well, I hope I speak to you before then because we've got some planning to do, mate. We need to, we've just been speaking off mic. We've got some more great guests coming up. Some that when we did our Instagram live last week, a lot of people was asking about. So,
yeah,
some very exciting times ahead.
However, we want to get back out on the road, seeing each other, getting out there, meeting these guests, because that's what the podcast started at. That's what we want to keep it at. But obviously, we'll only do it when it's safe to do so.